Now this evening we are looking at, as you can see, as the title for the message is, Are You Ready? All right, so let me read for us. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through to 48. And I am reading from the Christian Standard Bible. So it might be a little bit different if you're using the ESV or the NIV. So from verse 35. And so Jesus says to his disciples, Be ready for service and have your lamps lit. You are to be like people waiting for the master to return from the wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can open the door for him at once. Blessed will be those servants the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will be ready and have them recline at the table, and then I come and serve them. And if he comes in the middle of the night, or even near dawn, and finds them alert, blessed are those servants. But know this, if the homeowner had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Lord, Peter asked, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? And the Lord said, Who then is the faithful and sensible manager his master will put in charge of his household servants to give them their allotted food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whom the master finds doing his job when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But if that servant says in his heart, My master is delaying his coming, and starts then to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and to drink and to get drunk, that servant's master will come on a day that he does not expect him, and at an hour that he does not know, and he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will and didn't prepare himself or do it will be severely beaten. But the one who did not know and deserved punishment will receive a light beating. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, even more will be expected. All right, so that's the passage we're going to be having a look at this evening, and hopefully the Lord can encourage us in our walk with him. But before we get there, has anybody ever broken into your home or into your property? And they've come in, they have stolen your stuff. Now that happened to us a couple of years ago. They didn't break into our home, but they did break into our small courtyard and they stole our bicycles. Now we didn't hear them, and we had no idea that they were there because we were fast asleep. It was only in the morning when I opened up the front door and I found our sprinkler in front. It was one of those, you know, those big sprinklers with like it's on a tripod. And so it was in front of the door and it was lying on its side. And it's kind of like, that's quite odd. I don't remember putting it there and I wouldn't put it there like that. And obviously it left me with a couple of questions. And so being inquisitive, I then went into the courtyard. And obviously that's when I discovered that our bicycles were gone. And I guess the thieves, they put the sprinkler there just in case I heard them during the night. And then I would have come running out and tripped over their trap. And obviously hurt myself, whatever. But obviously that didn't happen. Why? Because I was fast asleep. I was in La La Land and completely unaware that our bicycles were being relocated by some shady individuals. So bye-bye bicycles. Just in regards to that, so we didn't only end up with the loss of our Bibles, with loss of our bicycles, but we were also left with a very traumatized little girl who thought then that somebody was going to come and steal her. So we had to deal with all of those issues. Now, maybe you've been lucky enough not to have had your house broken into or your stuff stolen, unlike 95% of the rest of us South Africans. But did you, or ever maybe, were you ever busted by your teacher? Maybe you were misbehaving in the classroom and you said something or you did something and then your teacher walked in catching you red-handed. Once again, that's something like that happened to me. You know, our school, we were going through that. Schools go through stupid phases. And one of the phases that we were going through, everybody was bringing their syringes to school, kind of like nice big ones, and we were filling them with water. And when people were watching, we were squirting each other. As you know, you go through stupid phases. The phase before that was having our taking our pens apart and putting a pin inside there that had a nice little flight made out of cotton wool, and we were shooting each other. And that was before the days of the whole scare with HIV, so you won't be caught dead doing that today. Before that, it was, you know, chewing the paper and spitting it, well, you know, through your pen and getting people with nice gobby full pieces of paper on the back of their head. Anyway, so we were going now through the phase of squirting each other with water. And so we're in the science class, and the teacher steps out, and my friend was sitting up front, and then so and as I squirted him, the teacher walked back into the classroom, and he was the guy that got all my water. And my science teacher was one of those kind of guys that didn't take a joke. And so I remember getting a very good caning on that day. Now, gone are the days of corporal punishment, eh? So kids today can't tell like epic stories like that. But anyway, in our passage for this evening, Jesus gives us a very clear warning, doesn't he? That his return, his second coming, is going to be an event that is going to catch everybody off guard. Nobody's going to see it coming. He's going to be like that thief that comes at the unexpected hour, or he's going to be that teacher that steps back into the classroom suddenly, and boom, he is going to be there. And that is Jesus' challenge to us, just as it was for his disciples. That verse 40, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. And already Jesus is starting to hint at something already to his disciples, is that his coming now is not going to be the establishment of his kingdom. It's just going to be the introduction to it. So already he starts to drop hints that his first coming is not going to be the end of it all. All right. And so when we read the gospel accounts, when we read the rest of the New Testament as well, Christ's return is mentioned, you know how many times? Over 318 times. That's how many times it is referred, he refers to, all the gospel as well as the epistles refer to his second coming. So this obviously shows us this is a very important truth that we need to know. And it's also a truth that needs to shape our worldview. And so the question is, are you ready for Jesus' return? Are you ready? In fact, do we even believe that Jesus might return at any moment? Do we really believe that? And I reckon the way in which most people live their lives shows that we actually have very little regard for Jesus' return. You see, sadly, most of us have been caught up with the flow of the world. You know, just carrying on with life day after day with little expectation or anticipation. Just grinding through the monotonous, mandatory motions of the day. You know, wake, dress, eat, brush teeth. Well, I hope you brush your teeth. Go to work, drive, come home, eat, shower, and then sleep. And then repeat. But that is why Jesus says to us in the previous passage that there is more to life. More to life than just worrying about what you're going to eat and what you are going to clothe yourself with. There's more to life. Instead, we are to be seeking the kingdom. And so he says in verses 31 and verse 33 to 34, instead, seek his kingdom, and then these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give it to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, and with the treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so Jesus says that we are to be seeking his kingdom. In fact, we have already been given the kingdom, if you read the passage carefully. We are already citizens of his kingdom. And this means that we should already be living and walking in a manner worthy of our calling. Because we've been gifted salvation. And with this gift of our salvation, for us as believers, we have been given a new heart. And the state and the nature of the new heart will always reflect, or always will reflect, the things that it values the most. And what is it that it values the most? Well, loving the Lord. We love the Lord. We submit to his rule. We then begin to love the things that he loves. Living the way that he wants us to live. Treasuring the things that he treasures. And also with this new heart, we also anticipate the physical return of the King. And so our first point this evening is, but what does it look like to be ready for Jesus' return? What does it look like to be ready? And as we have a look at Jesus' teaching so far, it's not about sitting around and twiddling our thumbs. Already back in chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus said that if we want to follow after him and be a part of his kingdom and to be ready for him when he returns, then we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him daily. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Remember, he's repeating this. There's more to life than what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. So what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and chases after all of that and then forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Remember, as I said, he's already starting to drop hints that his arrival then is not going to be the final establishment of the kingdom. There's more to come. So being ready for Jesus' return is, first of all about being saved. Acknowledging him as our Lord and Savior and putting our faith and trust in him. Repenting of our sin and then resting in his righteousness. Remember, it's that great exchange. He takes our sin. And then he gives us his righteousness. He takes all of our imperfection and then he gives us his perfection. And so we need to be ready for him. And that means being reconciled to him. But also, as we begin to look at the passage, we also see that being ready for Jesus' return is also about already being in his service. It's about already serving him. Being ready for him is all about serving him. And so we are no longer caught up in serving ourselves and building up our own little kingdoms. Life is no longer about pursuing a worldly gain and then worrying about earthly things. Instead, it's all about being far more aware of how I can serve Jesus wherever he has placed me. And being used by him in his kingdom. And Jesus gives us a picture of a devoted and a faithful servant, probably multiple servants, who are eagerly awaiting their master's return. That verse 35, stay dressed for action. And it is literally, let your loins be girded. And obviously the imagery here is that everybody wore long garments, you had a belt around. And so if you were a busy servant and you were active and busy, what you would do is you would take your long garment and you would tuck it into your belt so you can move around freely instead of being hindered by your clothing. And so Jesus says, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from a wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. And so the picture is actually a busy and a joyous one. These are servants who are busy with their master's bidding. And even though he is away attending a wedding banquet, they're busy. And so during the day, they busy themselves with the usual tasks. And so they're not lazing around. You know, as we know how the saying goes, when the cat's away, the mouse will play. And even then, when evening comes, they stay dressed for action. They are dressed to serve. Their garments are tucked in. And this obviously then enables them to move around quickly, especially if their master arrives and he knocks at the door and they can rush and go and open up. And so, from the darkness outside, the house is a shining light. And so we just picture the church, don't we? So from the darkness outside, the house is a shining light. Streams of light just gleam out of the windows. And the house is alive with chatter, interaction, involvement, and movement. And the atmosphere is filled with excitement, with expectation, waiting for their master's return. And so these are amazing servants, and there is no getting tired, no grumbling. because of the long hours, and no saying that the master is late. No selfishness. Instead, the house is brightly lit, and everyone is ready to give their master a joyful reception. So these are people who are alive, and they are active for Jesus. They are busy at their master's business. And the emphasis is also on you. You must be ready. And so don't be sidetracked by others and what they are doing. Don't be distracted and led astray by all the other things that people are running after and following. You know, all the sinful pleasures and the treasures of the world. You must follow the Lord. You must be found serving Him. And so stay dressed for action. And so the question that comes for us is, how much of our lives are given to Christ? Our personal devotion. Our feeding of the inner man. Our cultivating our affection for the Lord. And finding our happiness in Him. And bearing fruit in our personal lives for Him. Galatians 5. We know the verse as well. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. So don't get sidetracked. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And what does Paul say? He says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do or make a practice of doing these things, such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Be ready. If you say that you are a believer, you're busy with the Lord's business and living in the way that He wants you to live. But the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, kingdom behavior, your serving and waiting for Christ is seen in your ongoing love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its possessions, or its passions and desires. And so if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And so when the Lord returns, our longing is for us to be with Him. We long to be with Him. But we also long for Him to make us like Him. You see it. So in the meantime, our getting ready and being ready for Christ's return is simply having a desire to be found in Him. So we are found in relationship with Him, in fellowship with Him, worshipping Him. And we want to love Him, to serve Him, to find our joy and happiness in Him. And obviously to put our hope and trust in Him. That is how we are found ready. And also, if we think about it, that is what we are going to be doing in His eternal kingdom. Loving Him, serving Him, finding our joy and happiness in Him. And so it's about living for Jesus now and striving to be like Him wherever He has placed us. I don't know how many times I've said it, that if we're not already loving the Lord and loving the things that He loves, then heaven is not the place for us. When the Lord Jesus comes, our greatest expectation and anticipation is for Him to receive us to Himself. And we know that finally we will be able to love Him and worship Him as we should, unhindered by our sin. So being ready for Jesus' return means that we must be dressed to serve, but also ready to suffer. Meaning that we are spiritually and mentally ready and alert and aware to the fact that we will face various temptations and as well as demonic distractions while we wait for Christ's return. And so we submit to God's word, to His instruction, to His will, as opposed to running off and doing our own thing. But we also submit in intelligence, don't we? Our worldview is changing because of God's word. We have a far deeper understanding of how God is working in our lives and through our circumstances. And so we submit with intelligence and with wisdom and asking for more wisdom. And also submitting to God's perfect and sufficient word. And we're also working hard and joyfully to cultivate a strong faith and understanding God's sovereignty. We're also understanding His providential care in our lives. And we do this so that we can endure right to the end. No matter what type of suffering comes our way, we'll be ready. We'll be ready. Being ready is staying dressed for action, being ready to suffer, and keeping our lamps burning. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. I like the imagery, you know, just as John the Baptist prepared the way for the Messiah's coming and was out there calling people to repent because the Lord is coming. And I believe so too, the church, believers, also are preparing the Lord, preparing people for the Lord's second coming. So church believers are a light. And it is our mission to point people towards the bridegroom. He's coming again. He is the true light. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And so being ready means that we are ready to serve, ready to suffer, ready to light the way. But we are also ready for a delay. When we have a look at Matthew chapter 25, and verses 5 onwards, and even in this passage, Luke 12:35, we see that Jesus gives his disciples, as I said, he gives them a heads up that there is going to be a delay between his ascension and then his coming back, his final return. And in that Matthew 25 passage, he says, "And as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and they slept." And so we are ready for a delay and we are ready to face the scoffers who will come with that. You know, where is the second coming? You know, just as Peter had to deal with it in his own day. Because he writes in his second letter, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days. And he was already living in the last days, just as much as what we are living in the last days. And I guess it's even more amplified today. Scoffers will come in the last days, so scoffing, following their own sinful desires. And they will say, "Where is this promise coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing just as they were from the beginning of creation." But what we know is that Jesus' delay is intentional. It's intentional. Again, as Peter says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. But he is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." He wants people to repent and turn to him. But as Peter says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done it will be exposed." And so Jesus told us in advance that there is going to be a delay. But that shouldn't cause us to delay, should it? But we should be busy for the Lord, sharing the good news, so that those who hear the gospel might find an opportunity themselves to repent. And that they too can be ready for when the Lord Jesus comes. And we all need to be busy for the Lord because our Master has given us, all of us, he's given us assignments. Wherever he has placed us, he's given us all the resources that we need. He's given us the gift, the abilities, the opportunities, the relationships. He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's given us his word. Every possible resource that we need. And we are to serve with faithfulness, diligence, and then let our light shine in a very dark world. And our final point. You see, there's great reward in being found ready. Yeah, we're having a look at verses 37 and 44. And when he does arrive, the Lord Jesus, well, what we also see in the parable, when the master arrives, there is a joyful welcome. But also a very surprising response from the master, isn't it? It's amazing. And I find this absolutely mind-blowing. You know, not only does Jesus in his first coming, you know, he says that he's come to seek and serve and to save the lost. In Matthew 20, verse 28, he says, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. But Jesus is also saying here that he's, at his second coming, he's going to bless beyond our imagination those who have remained faithful to him. It's staggering. Just see how repetitive it is. Blessed are those servants whose master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. It's amazing. If he comes in the second watch or the third watch and he finds them awake, blessed are those servants. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all of his possessions. And this same blessing is mentioned in Luke 19, which we will eventually be coming to in the parable of the miners. The first came before him saying, Lord, your miners made 10 miners more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful with very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the thing is that there is great mystery to what the Lord has prepared for us. Incredible mystery. But there are going to be things for us to do in our new physical, resurrected, glorified bodies. Bodies that will no longer grow old. Bodies that will no longer become weak or ill. Instead, it's going to be a place that is free from pain and sorrow and physical suffering. And we'll be going back to how it should be in the Garden of Eden, where everything was very good. And that is that God is going to renew, restore, recreate all things. It's going to be perfect. And he's going to bring everything back into harmony, back into the purposes for which they were originally created. And so there will be no evil. As we said, all will be very good in God's sight. And all will function to fulfill the purpose for which they were originally created. And you and I will be in the presence of God, enjoying unhindered fellowship with him for all eternity. Blessed are those servants that he finds who are ready for him. And so we will live continuously in the atmosphere of God's glory, not fleeing from it, not fearing it, but then able to enjoy and stand in the power and the holiness of our glorious God. And in this new dwelling and being with him, we will experience the purest and the fullest worship of God. Can you even begin to grasp that? We will stand in God's presence, free from any sin or any manipulated selfishness, and we will worship God in truth and in perfection. And God's people, his faithful servants, they will inherit the earth and reign over it in a way that he intended. It's going to be glorious. And we will eat and drink what he has prepared for us. It's going to be a great celebration. But you know, at heaven, for all eternity, there's going to be so much for us to do. We're going to enjoy eternal life. We're going to enjoy and we're going to create. We're going to be artistic, we're going to invent, we're going to explore, we're going to cultivate, we're going to build, because
That's part of being created in the image of God.
And also, since God is infinite and we can never exhaust his greatness, this is also, it's profound. Because we are infinite creatures and we'll never equal God in knowledge, we can only then presume that we'll just keep on learning more and more and more about God. And for all eternity, he's just going to be pouring out more and more and more of his love towards us. Eternal grace. We'll never get sick of it. It's incredible. The greatest thing of all is that we will be with him. And we'll never be able to be separated from him. But sadly, not everybody is going to experience this. Why? Because not all are faithful. Not all are genuine servants of the master. Yeah, verse 45, but if that servant says to himself, my master is delaying in coming, and he begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and to drink and to get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he doesn't expect him, in an hour that he does not know, and he will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And so this is not just a lazy servant. This is someone who has abused both his position of authority, and he has also abused the people under his care. You see, this is a wicked individual, a perverted predator who actually portrays himself, even potentially as a pastor. Let alone as a believer. And what does he do? He preys on others. And there are some who say that they are servants of the Lord and they can speak Christianese and they can hold the Bible in high regard and they can even have a gift of the gab, have a large following. But if they live in sin, if they pursue it, if they dwell in it, if they cherish it, and if they are unrepentant, and they bear the fruit of unrighteousness, as was mentioned in those other passages. Again, as Paul says, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. They are not ready. They are not ready. In Galatians 5, now the works of the flesh are evident. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, it goes on and on. As I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, everybody needs to be aware that everything will be revealed at Jesus' return. Nothing can be hidden. Nothing is hidden away from him. And everything will be accounted for. And so to be ready for Jesus' returns means that we have made sure that we live both in the open and in the secret, that this faith that we profess matches the life that we live. That we have searched our own hearts and that we can truly say that Christ is the one whom I treasure the most. When you look at your life, what and who do you treasure the most? And I know we don't get it right all the time. But is there repentance evident in your life? Is there love for Christ evident in your life? Is there readiness evident in your life? Are you anxious about Jesus' return? Are you worried about it? Are you fearful? Or do you eagerly await it? So when Jesus returns, all will be exposed. All will be put right. Truth will reign. And perfect justice will be meted out. And those who knew better, those who knew more, but they suppressed the truth, well, they'll be judged more stricter than those who are simply ignorant. And in the end, God being the righteous and the just God that he is, he will judge and hold everybody accountable. And all will receive what is rightly due to them. Is Christ your advocate? Are you ready to meet him? Do you really know him? So we can wrap up this evening with just three words. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because his return is imminent. Just as people caught out for his first coming, so people will be caught out with his second coming. Don't be caught out. Be ready.
Let's close.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is a treasure to us. Thank you for our Lord Jesus, who is our greatest prize. And Lord, we are asking and we are praying that we are people who are ready, who are ready serving you, who are ready in love with you, who are ready and expecting great things, people who anticipate glory to come. And so, Lord, we ask that you would go before us, strengthen us, equip us, and Lord, that we might be found ready for you. And in your name we pray. Amen.